So now we will, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, starting in verse 14. Now, the first part of this first chapter of John is one of my favoritest passages of Scripture. It talks about how, favoritist. It talks about, as I mentioned not too long ago when I actually brought a sermon on that, it goes from creation, actually before creation, to the birth of Christ in just 14 verses. It's amazing to me what the Lord can do with His Word. And, we think this book that He gave us is maybe not long enough, but with God's power, His Word doesn't have to be real long to be useful, to be right. His Word is always right. So we're going to pick up here in the first chapter of John, starting in verse, we're going to go back to verse 14 and cover that, and then we're going to go on here. The title of today's message is, Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Verse 14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, Who art thou? And He confessed, and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked Him, What then, art thou Elias? And He saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And He answered, No. Then said they unto Him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked Him and said unto Him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, I read those verses to set the context here. You see that many came to John and said, John, who are you? The reason they came to John and asked who he was, this is John the Baptist, was because he was different from everybody they had seen before. He was totally different. And he came with such a powerful message, plus he did something that no one else did, and that was baptized. He was the only one at this time who had the authority to baptize. His authority came from God Himself. John baptized, but his real reason for coming was to prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord was coming. John said, He was the one who was before me. John was actually physically about 6 months older than Jesus was. John was actually Jesus' cousin by flesh. He was about 6 months older than Jesus. But here he says he was before me. Again, giving us insight into who Jesus truly is. He is not just a good man, and he is not just a good teacher. He is God in the flesh. Without a doubt, absolutely, He is totally God. John the Baptist understood that. And he said, I'm not even worthy to unloose his sandal. I'm not even worthy to even just take his shoe off to help him. Yet, Jesus gave a testimony about John He said he was one of the greatest that were ever born. He came, he was unusual. He wore strange clothes. He ate strange food. He preached a strange message to the people. And yet he was the one that was preparing the people for the coming of the Lord. Goes to show you that we don't have to be what everybody expects us to be used by God. When you go out and you look at, when people may look at us and say, well, they're really nothing special. A lot of people probably looked at the Apostle Paul and said, he's really nothing special. Matter of fact, people may have looked at Jesus and said, you know, he's really nothing special. But he was completely special. And he was a wonderful, he was the wonderful Messiah, the one sent by God. Doesn't hurt for us to change out, to stand out in this world. It doesn't hurt for us to be different from other people. Matter of fact, the scriptures do say that he's called us out a peculiar people. That means strange, different. I shouldn't strive to be like the world, but I do need to walk in the world. John the Baptist came, and he was baptizing. Now, look with me to verse 29. One of the greatest messages ever voiced is in this verse. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm a preacher. Preachers tend to speak quite a bit. But sometimes I wonder if I should speak less and let the Scriptures speak. Because notice what John said. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Period. That was his message about Jesus. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. We make things more difficult than they really are. This was the message. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist also said, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. This same Jesus, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, was also the Lamb of God. We think of lambs as being the cute little furry things that, you know, they're real cute when you go to the petting zoos and stuff. I know most of us probably haven't been on farms very much, especially with sheep. But little lambs are really cute, aren't they? They're little cute things. They're so adorable. But I want you to know something. You know what a Jewish person thought of when they heard lamb? Blood. A sacrifice. Because you see, under the law of Moses, the law that God gave to Moses, that was what they did. They sacrificed lambs and they sacrificed animals. So a little lamb was seen as blood, a sacrifice in their worship and in their lives. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Turn to Genesis chapter 22, please. We're going way back. Way back, even before God gave the law to Moses and Israel. Before there even was an Israel. We're going back to Abraham. One of the heroes, should be heroes even today, Abraham. If you look at the life of Abraham, he was a man faithful to the Lord. And that's all that we can ask to be. That's a true hero. Not what the world thinks of as heroes, but someone faithful to the Lord is truly a hero. Not someone we should worship, but someone we should respect and look to as an example of how we should be. Abraham, chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, the word of the Lord came to me with this message. I am afraid I would be not very happy to hear that word. Based on my life, I'm not sure what I would have done with it. Because you see, when we receive God's word, when God's word comes into our minds, you know what? We have a choice. We have a choice whether to accept his word or not. His word is no less true, but we have the choice whether to accept it or not. That's why we take the gospel message and we don't get discouraged when people reject it. Because listen, it's not our responsibility to make them accept God's word. It's our responsibility to share God's word with them and let them make the decision about what they would do. Here, God's word came to Abraham. Take your only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. I want to give you a little history here on Abraham. Abraham's wife, Sarah. God came to Abraham, God's word came to Abraham and said, I'm going to give you a seed that I will bless all nations with. So what does Abraham do? Well, he thinks they're too old. Sarah thinks they're too old. So she says, here's my handmaiden. Have a child by him, by her, excuse me. So Abraham did. And the result of that has been a struggle between two peoples ever since that time. Ishmael was born. And of Ishmael was born what we know of today as the Arabic people. But God wasn't going to bless through Hagar. God was going to bless through Sarah. And sure enough, he did. Abraham and Sarah thought there was no way this was going to happen. But then they had a child. His name was Isaac. His name was Isaac. Same Isaac listed here. Gives you a little bit of the insight into the scenario here. And God comes to Isaac, who God had promised to, comes to Abraham, excuse me, and says, Take Isaac, thine only son, that thou lovest, whom thou lovest, and sacrifice him on a mount that I'll show you. Oh, that's hard. Could you just hear Abraham's thoughts? But Lord, you gave him to me. You promised him to me. Now why you want me to sacrifice him? The book of Hebrews gives us some insight into the true mind of Abraham, because you know what it says Abraham believed? He believed that God could raise up Isaac even after he sacrificed him. So Abraham didn't give up hope. We'll see his reaction to the word of the Lord, his instruction, the Lord's instruction to Abraham. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? Don't you know this just broke Abraham's heart to hear his son ask where the offering would be? He said, we've got everything here, Dad. Where's the offering? Where's the lamb? This tells me that Isaac knew there was a sacrifice that needed to be made. And he said, where's the lamb? Listen to Abraham's response. Abraham said, verse 8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Remember back in John? What did John say? Behold the Lamb of God, and I bear witness he is the Son of God. God provided himself a lamb for us, for you and I. Abraham said, my son, God will provide. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou any thing unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Abraham didn't get up there and say, well, okay, I'm here, Lord. What are you going to provide, okay? He actually bound Isaac, laid him on the altar, and in his heart, he had already sacrificed Isaac. He was prepared to give his only begotten son, whom he loved. Very familiar verse to all of us, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his only begotten Son. See the pictures that we see here with Abraham and Isaac? And you see, when God promised to Abraham that he would bless all nations through that seed of Isaac, you know what his promise was referring to? Jesus. Jesus, who would be born of the seed of Isaac. But he was not just Isaac's son. He was actually the Son, the very only begotten Son of God. Abraham took Isaac, offered him there for the Lord, to the Lord. But the Lord stopped him and said, I've provided, just like he told Isaac. Here's the offering. And he offered that offering in the stead of his son Isaac. I've told you this before. Many of us, all of us, face death because of sin. But God offered up his son in our place, in our stead. That's the gospel. That's what John was saying when he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here's the sacrifice that's going to pay for yours and mine. That's going to satisfy God on our behalf. As you turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, you remember I said that Abraham, this episode with Abraham and Isaac, was before God gave the law to Moses? So we see a sacrifice before the law. We see sacrifices as part of the law. As part of the worshiping under the law, they brought sacrifices daily, and the blood was shed as God commanded. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about that law. But not just that law, but what that law pointed to, as well as what the sacrifice with Abraham pointed to. And this is the beautiful sacrifice that God himself gave for each of us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, To do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified, pay attention here, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. There were thousands of offerings under the law. But what he's saying here, they did nothing as far as taking away sin, but they did give the message that there will come a Lamb from God who will offer his body as the offering for sin once for all. His offering, his sacrifice, was his body. And he only had to do it once. Under the law, they sacrificed daily, as I mentioned. And then yearly, they came together for the Day of Atonement. And they sacrificed then, and that was a special day. But all that blood that was shed, none of that blood saved anyone. Because he said the blood of bulls and goats couldn't. What saved was believing on the blood that was being that would be shed on the cross of Calvary. They saw the picture. Do you think Isaac, every time he saw a sacrifice being made, do you think he would look back and say, wait, I remember when Dad took me up on that mountain, was ready to sacrifice me. But then, I remember the joy of seeing that ram in the thicket, in the bushes, trapped, and then that sacrificed in my stead, in my place. If you're here today and you never accepted this sacrifice that Jesus offered on your behalf and on my behalf for my sins and yours, I pray that today would be the day that you would come to know him as your Savior. You would accept him as the offering on your behalf. If you're here and you have accepted him, I would encourage you to, from time to time, look back and notice, realize what God's done for you. Do you think Isaac was safe, thankful for that ram? I know he was. A lot of times, we become calloused. We take for granted what Jesus has done for us. That's when we start getting into trouble. We remember, look back and remember that he did that. He took that so I wouldn't have to. It should touch your heart. It should touch my heart. God provided himself a lamb for an offering. That lamb was Jesus Christ. As you stand,